D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, I saw a quote yesterday from Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, that caught my eye. He was discussing the historic nature of the 2024 quarterback class compared to the quarterback class in this upcoming draft. And Nagy said, quote, "It's certainly not last year. I don't know if any of these guys would be in the top six last year." I know that you are starting your NFL draft analysis, but the question remains, especially in the situation that the Titans find themselves in. Even if the quarterback class is not as stout as it was last year, teams still need quarterbacks, including the Titans. So as a team, how do you manage that, knowing that you might need a quarterback, you have the opportunity to get a quarterback, but you also may know that the quarterbacks at the top of this draft don't compare to the quarterbacks at the top of the draft class last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. Like, you can't go back in time, right? And this happens a lot, where you go, "Oh, if this guy was in this year's draft class, he would be at the top of it." It's like, well, it's great, but, like, he's not, and you can't get those guys anymore. Now, we've talked a little bit about the fact that, like, J.J. McCarthy, like, maybe you can't, you know? So, you know, I do think it's typically not a fruitful conversation, you know, at least – legitimate one, because there's usually nothing you can do about it. I think this year is slightly different because of the unique situation that Minnesota finds themselves in. So I think I would kind of start there, but then I would also probably just say, like, push back a little bit on it from a standpoint of this, like, and I think probably most of your listeners just, you know, probably SEC fans and would be aware of this. You know, this time last year, did everybody think Bo Nix was going to be an amazing prospect? Like, what would Titans fans have thought had the Titans drafted Bo Nix? Like, they probably wouldn't have been real pumped about it. And Bo Nix had a really good rookie season and, you know, ends up, you know, leading his team to a playoff appearance. Look, I think that if you were to go down through it, like, and yeah, I'm fully done it yet, but, like, I think it's a pretty good shot that Cam Ward would come out, you know, being liked by other people more than people like Bo Nix. It wouldn't surprise me if people feel a similar way about Will Howard. So, look, I do think there are going to be guys that like, you know, as we sit here right now and we talk about, okay, now that we know how this past year's draft class fared in their rookie season and, you know, how confident people feel about the guys coming out, that, like, they'll say it now. But, you know, I don't know that it's definitely going to, you know, pan out that exact way.
We were discussing a mock draft by Nick Suss, who reports on the Titans for the Tennessean. He had the Titans trading back twice in the first round and ultimately drafting Will Howard as their quarterback of the future, potentially, in the fourth round. And again, I know you're early in your NFL draft analysis. We expect Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, in some order, to go off the board first and second among quarterbacks. Based on your very early read, who would you have as number three on your big board in terms of available quarterbacks in this draft?
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, these are the guys, if I can do it this way, these are the guys that I would put in the mix for it. Will Howard would be in the mix. I think Quinn Ewers would be in the mix. And I think Kyle McCord would be in the mix. Like, that's just in terms of, like, you know, the skill set of what I think that people typically, you know, end up looking for, you know, in terms of, look, size, athleticism, traits, you know, things of that nature. So, like, I forget the kid's name now, the kid that played at Indiana, like, I think that'll be an interesting name. No, the kid there this year.
Rourke.
From James.
Rourke.
Yeah. So, like, but I do think, like, there are going to be other guys, like, for example, like Riley Leonard, who, you know, when he was at Duke, and then there was talk about him, where is he going to end up? Is he going to end up in Notre Dame? Is he going to end up at Oregon? I don't think he will, you know, end up, you know, being in the mix up there. I just think, you know, deficiencies as a passer will, you know, kind of keep him, you know, in that next tier that's after that.
You didn't mention Jalen Milroe in that group. What are your thoughts on him?
Now I'm spacing on the kid's name in New England right now. Not Drake May, the other kid who was
Milton?
There.
Joe Milton.
So I think that, like, you know, what Milton did in the preseason and then what he did at the end of the year, I think actually helps Milroe. But I think that Milroe, similar thing, is going to be, like, viewed as I think there are some of these guys that, like, if you were going to do a QB competition in T-shirt and shorts, then I think, like, yeah, Milroe's in the mix, man. Like, no question about it. And I think in some ways, like, Riley Leonard would be in the mix, too. But, you know, I also think when you look around at some of the other guys, like, in terms of, you know, a physical component to it, but then it's also like, okay, well, like, what did you put on tape that I think will be different? I think that's where, you know, there'll be separation from someone like Milroe. Whereas, like, you take somebody like Cam Ward, like, his tape is awesome. Like, he's got really good film from multiple places, much like Jane Daniels had good film from multiple places. And I think there'll be outlying characteristics with somebody like Cam Ward from the standpoint of, like, you know, he's got a natural calm in the pocket that is different than, you know, than other guys. Whereas, you know, other people kind of a little more frantic in the pocket. But I also think you're going to see someone like Kyle McCord, another guy who's had success multiple places. And people say, like, okay, we like the traits, we like the physical ability. And, oh, by the way, like, look, you've been good at more than one spot, which, you know, I think starts to end up being, you know, a nice evaluation piece.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, I want to go back to Will Howard for just a moment because a lot of us got a chance to watch him front and center. And so I want to get your keen eye on something, because when I watch Ohio State, I'm reminded of loaded college teams that have won big with an A.J. McCarron or even a Matt Leinart, who was a high first-round pick. But the common thread is gifted players. Mac Jones might be an example, too. Gifted
Great
players
example.
All around him. Really good scheme. I thought there were a lot of throws that Will Howard made. They were on the money. But the guy was open. There was a lot of separation because there was so much talent spread across the field. How do you try to factor that in when you evaluate him?
I think that's one of the hardest things in evaluating, because you're exactly right. Now, I think that, like, just for a little context on Will Howard, and I've seen him both in person and, you know, on, like, just watching film of him. He is gigantic. Like, he's probably, you know, 6'4", 6'5", about 235, maybe 240 pounds. Like, he is huge. You know, so I think, like, there's also, like, some of those elements, too. Like, when I say it, I'm like, yep, a little bit like Kyle McCord. Like, Kyle McCord is a big guy, like a really big guy. So I think that you're right. Look, I was very critical of Mac Jones because, like, coming out, because I was like, well, that's great. Like, you throw a bubble screen against Notre Dame that goes for 62 yards. Like, that doesn't happen in the NFL. So I do think it's something that you have to pay attention to. Now, I do think playing in some big moments, like, that's a nice evaluation piece when you're talking about a guy playing in, look, a national championship game, or, you know, playing in a Rose Bowl, or, you know, doing things like that. Like, that does matter, especially if you're then comparing him to somebody that was like, look, Kyle McCord, who, you know, played at Syracuse. And it was like, yeah, there was, you know, 27,000 people at your game against Duke. Like, what is that environment like? So I think there are a bunch of factors that you have to pay attention to, you know, in the evaluation process. But I do think the supporting cast and who you're playing against, I think, is one of the biggest hurdles in the evaluation process to get over. So now what I would say I like about Will Howard is, like, when the guy was open, he made the throw. Like, he didn't, you know, didn't dirt balls that he should have hit. I think there was a degree of difficulty on a lot of his throws. I think there was a complexity to their offense that was good, that makes me feel like he can do a lot. I also think that if you're going to go through what he went through at Kansas State and then go to Ohio State, make sure that you keep the job, win the job, keep the job, be criticized the way you were, and fight your way through it. Like, I think you're kind of made of the right stuff.
That's a great point. Tim, one more for me, and then I'll throw it to D-Mace. I'm curious about – it was such a classic game that we saw, just like we hoped it would be, the Bills and the Chiefs. And there's a critical play, of course, that I'm sure in Buffalo they're still sore about, and that was the 4th-and-1 where – you know, it's just on the heels of them. There were so many quarterback sneaks in that game. It was a really interesting thing to watch throughout the game. But the one that they didn't get the break on, where one judge comes in and it looks like he's got the spot well past the marker. The other guy comes in, he's got it short. They review it. See, I was reading today, CBS had 80 cameras on hand for that. I was disappointed that there wasn't a better look that we could see there. So where do we go from here on that? Like, such a critical play. Like, if they get that, they had momentum. If they score, there's a lot of what ifs there.
Hey, Willie, better look, or just like, look, you got Gene's territory there. How about a better explanation?
Thought they got it right.
Why they chose one official spot over the other official spot? That happens all the time, where two officials will have different spots. But what is the protocol of, like, why you choose the guy down bottom or why you choose the guy up top? Like what is the reason why you would take one official spot over there? Like, it happens every play. There's got to be a reason. So why was that official spot chosen? Like, no explanation whatsoever. And you're exactly right in terms of camera angles. Like, I got one for you. Like, we fly high school drones – drones over high school fields in Tennessee. Like, you know, I know we got Skycam and stuff like that. Like, stay right over the ball. Like, so you know how sometimes the camera angles are a little bit of an angle? Like, stay right over the ball and, like, know exactly where the guy was. Like, there is definitely a way that technology can make this better.
D-Mace, you there?
Yeah, talking to Tim Hasselbeck. I have my mic on mute. Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Going back to the draft, because this was a question that Adam asked us before, a segment before you got on, about Tennessee moving from 1-6, 6-17, and then ultimately somewhere in that draft, drafting Will Howard later. If the Titans do go down that road, why not just allow Will Levis? Because essentially he's Will Levis, but maybe a year behind. Why not just keep Will Levis? If you are more inclined to draft a quarterback in the 4th round or 5th round, why not keep Will Levis? He's not costing you any money. And then you don't have another quarterback on the roster under contract right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're right about that. Like, look, just because somebody's not your starter doesn't mean you don't keep them on your roster. Look, there's a point where, look, I'm sure Seattle thought Drew Lock was the guy, and then they got Geno Smith, and, like, guess what? Like, Drew Lock was still there, right? Like, you know, I do think that, I mean, it just, as long as you don't think it's going to disrupt your quarterback room, you know, as long as you don't think that it's going to be like a disruptor, you know, for you in terms of the guy's attitude and work ethic, and I can't imagine it would be with Will Levis, then I think you do. Because, look, we see it every year. Look, but by the end of the year, I mean, we're watching some of these football games where, especially late in the year, it feels like preseason games because guys are so injured and there aren't quarterbacks to play.
Now, looking at the quarterbacks that are going to be in free agency, obviously the Jets don't know what they're going to do quite yet with Aaron Rodgers. If the Jets decide to move on for Aaron Rodgers, do you think there will be? Because right now it seems like everybody's like, ah, I don't want to touch Rodgers. You know, what comes with Rodgers is some other stuff that we don't want to deal with. But we know how this league is. If you need a quarterback, ultimately, if he's the best available quarterback out there and you still feel he has some good play in him, you're going to go get him regardless of what he brings. So if indeed Aaron Rodgers gets into free agency, do you think there will be more than one suitor for him?
Yes, I do. Because of exactly what you just said. Like, I mean, now, look, I think if you were going to rank free agents, like, look, I'd rank Sam Darnold in front of Aaron Rodgers. Like, I would. But where would you rank Cousins and Aaron Rodgers if that happened? Like, where, like, do you know what I mean? Like, like, is Rodgers ahead of Cousins? Like, I mean, Cousins could maybe be more expensive. So, look, yeah, I think there are going to be enough teams that are looking for somebody. I do think, you know, Aaron's a little different than Kirk because, like, Kirk might be okay, you know, not being the guy potentially, you know, whereas, like, we know that there's no shot Aaron would do that. So, yeah, I think ultimately there'll be more than one team that's interested in him. Now, whether they would be interested in him and the price that he wants, I think is maybe the thing that I would be less sure about.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on D-Mays, Vingan, and Donick. Tim, always a pleasure to speak to you. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. If you want to react to anything that Tim had to say, you can call us, you can text us, 615-737-1025. There was something that Willie brought up that I found to be quite interesting, and so did Tim. So pat yourself on the back, Willie. We'll discuss that next, but before we do you want to win tickets to a Preds game? Then be listening to Robbie and Rextro tomorrow morning for Preds Pick to Click. All you have to do is guess a Preds goal scorer, and if they put the puck in the back of the net, you win. Be listening tomorrow morning for the cue to call on Robbie and Rextro.